From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This week we're continuing our study of the law of God. But there is a difference in the program format. We usually have a period each day where we have a commentary on some topic of interest. But since I'm gone from Greenville for quite a while on an overseas preaching tour, I'm leaving out the commentaries for the moment and giving us a longer period for each day's Bible study. I trust that you'll stay with us today as we continue to look at the law of God. And today our subject is the unlawful use of God's law. We appreciate the constant flow of interest and response that we receive from our listeners. We're glad to be able to make some valuable resources available to you, and these are all free of charge. We have mentioned at times various special messages on cassette or CD. We have set before you our Let the Bible Speak full-color quarterly magazine, which always makes interesting reading. And recently I have been mentioning our monthly Let the Bible Speak audio magazine, a CD or cassette with testimonies, Bible studies, and music to bless the heart. Now, you may obtain any of these or all of these by writing or calling us here at Let the Bible Speak. If you're writing, our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And our toll-free telephone number is 866-877-LTBS. 866-877-5827. Our website is letthebiblespeakradio.com, or in the abbreviated form, ltbsradio.com, and there you'll find many items of interest, including our broadcasts, commentaries on topics of interest, both in audio and text versions, and of course our internet bookstore. So I hope that you'll make sure to visit us soon at ltbsradio.com. So whether you write, or call toll-free, or get on the internet at ltbsradio.com, we trust that you'll be in touch today.
Thank you. working your way into favor with God is a blasphemous repudiation of God's purpose in the law and in the gospel. And I want to make that clear. For salvation, and indeed after you've professed faith in Christ, you cannot work your way into a place of acceptance with God. You cannot work your way or merit your way or pay your way into a place where God accepts you, loves you because of what you've done. It's Christ and His merit that provide the sole ground of the acceptance of both sinner and saint in the presence and sight of God. But then there's a third unlawful use of the law that I think is in Paul's mind in our text, and that is to use the law as a condemnation of believers. That was plainly the mission of the Judaizers. The law is good if a man use it lawfully. These people were clearly working on believers in Christ. Now remember, this was in Ephesus. Remember the people to whom, or among whom therefore they were working. When you read the account in Acts of the establishment of the church in Ephesus, and then when you read the epistle to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, you'll discover this was a church that was deeply taught in the doctrine of grace. It was deeply taught in the truth of our union with Christ and of our acceptance on the sole merit of Christ, of our redemption through the blood of Christ. The Ephesian epistle by many is thought to be the pinnacle of all Paul's writings. He scales heights and plumbs depths in that epistle that do not even get an address in other epistles that he wrote. And yet among these people, here were vain, jangling perverters of the law of God. And what were they doing? They were trying to rob God's believing people of the freedom they had by grace, of the assurance they enjoyed by grace, and they were trying to bring them back under condemnation by the law. That's what they were doing. And that's a vicious thing. It's an unlawful thing. Paul says that the law does not bear down upon God's people. Doesn't do it. And if you're using the law of God to beat Christians into the ground, you're misusing God's law. If you're using God's law to rob Christians of the assurance that they have in Christ, you're misusing God's law. I know preachers who made a livelihood out of that. And they thought themselves so saintly that it became the thing. And these were Reformed, Calvinistic, separated preachers. They thought they were so spiritual and they were so successful when they could have every Christian going out of the meeting doubting that he was ever saved. So that assurance is no longer a grace. Doubting is the great grace. What a perversion of God's law. When preachers try to bring Christians under guilt, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Judaizer that does it or whether it's a hyper-Calvinist that does it. It doesn't matter. It's an evil and wicked thing. You go to the book of Galatians, this is the thrust behind the Galatian error. The error was a use of the law that was addressed to people who had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their souls, and it was to get them away from the all-sufficiency of Christ, to move them away from the assurance that came through faith in Jesus, to feel themselves under the condemnation of the law whereby they had to work up some merit with God. Oh, they would say, we believe in Jesus, but we have to have Jesus plus, the blood plus, the cross plus. We must have our works to make us at least somewhat acceptable to God. That's to bring Christians back under condemnation. That's an illegal use of the law. Again, I want you to understand how radical Paul's teaching on this doctrine of justification is. He says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now notice where that comes. That comes in the first verse of Romans chapter 8. You'll not need to be a mathematician to know that Romans chapter 8 comes after Romans chapter 7. And Romans chapter 7 is the great spiritual unfolding of the heart of a believer. How once he had no consciousness of his sin. Then the law of God came and convicted him of his sin. And it drove him to the Lord Jesus. And he received Christ. But even after receiving Christ as a Savior, there is this conflict within him. Why? Because in the flesh he's not yet perfect. There are things that he wants to do that somehow he can't get to doing. There are things that he hates to do and yet he finds himself doing them. Have you never been there? I would say if you'd never been there, you've never been saved. But speaking of this struggling, battling Christian, he says, there is no condemnation. You see how radical it is? All the religions of men, doesn't matter whether they come from the left or from the right, all the religions of men have this in common, that they're going to tell that poor struggling Christian, you've got to do, and keep on doing to try and get yourself up to the place where maybe someday you'll be able to say, I've not got any condemnation. Paul says no such thing. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our merit. Christ is our perfection. We have faith in a perfect Savior. It's not the strength of our faith that saves us. It's the strength of the person in whom it resides who saves us. Bless God tonight. There's no condemnation. And then later in Romans 8, he issues the great challenge, who is he that condemneth? Step forward the man or the devil that would dare to condemn one whom God has justified. What is our answer to guilt and condemnation? Well, the answer of the flesh is always, let me do something. That always brings you under more condemnation. Because whatever you do is still imperfect. But what's the answer to guilt and condemnation? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The four pillars of the gospel. Christ died. Christ rose again. Christ ascended to the right hand of God. Christ maketh intercession for us. And I want to tell you that the entire edifice of Christian theology stands on those four pillars of grace. No condemnation. It's unlawful to use God's law to rob Christians, believers, of what Christ has given them and bring them back under condemnation. Remember what Isaiah said. He said, woe to them that justify the wicked and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Woe to them. Woe to the man in the pulpit who obscures from the vision of God's people the righteousness that they have in Christ, the acceptance they have with God in Christ, the assurance that God gives them on the ground of that righteousness. Woe to the man who takes away the righteousness of the righteous or the justified man. It's an unlawful use of the law. And finally, can I say that it is unlawful to use the law of God as a burden on the backs of believers. That again is what Paul has in mind very clearly in our text, in its context. Any attempt, now listen to me very carefully, for I am not an antinomian. I do not believe that foolish notion that Christians owe no duty to the law of God. But I want you to understand what I'm saying now. Any attempt to lay legal burdens on believers apart from grace and apart from the gospel is evil and unlawful. Let me put that another way. Any attempt to get Christians to live by rule and not by faith is evil and unlawful. Now, this is cutting close to the quick. I said at the beginning that the greatest challenge facing the Church of Jesus Christ today is a misunderstanding and a misrepresentation of the gospel. All across this nation, in what we have to call good churches with godly men and sincere preachers, God's people are burdened down with rule, regulation, principles, they're called. I want to tell you quite bluntly tonight, take your New Testament. If there's one thing comes out of this book of studies that we have put out, I pray God this will be it. Take your New Testament. That is never the New Testament answer. Never. Believers keep the law because it is in their heart, not because it's on their back. There's a world of difference. The psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Again in the 37th Psalm, he says, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I love the statement of Spurgeon on that text. I've quoted it to you often concerning the law of God. In the head it puzzles, on the back it burdens, in the heart it upholds. You see, God's people obey God's law out of faith in Jesus. Again, these statements they're exceedingly simple. But I guarantee, even in a church like this, where I have been preaching this for, and of course others as well have been preaching it, every preacher here preaches the same thing ultimately, but for some almost 17 years now, and yet even in a church like this, I guarantee there are people who cannot make anything of that statement. You obey God by faith in Jesus. You see, Christians are not hedged in by the law. Christians do not find the law as a restraint upon them. Christians do not find their motivation to holiness in the law. They find there an expression of the will of God, which corresponds with what is written in their heart. And out of faith in Jesus, and out of a consequent love, for faith worketh by love, they will obey God. But I want you to notice what the fundamental sin is of every unlawful use of the law. What is it? Ultimately, it substitutes the law for Christ. When people make the law the way of salvation, they're substituting the law for Christ. Nothing could be plainer. When they use the law to condemn believers in Jesus, they're substituting the law for Christ. When they make the law a burden on the back of Christians so that they have them living by rote and by rule and by so-called principle, they're substituting the law for Christ. We're saved by Christ. We're set free from condemnation by Christ. We have the power to live in holiness and in victory through Christ. Let the weight of the law fall on sinners. That's where God intends it to fall. He will not allow it to fall on His people. He says, it was not given to lie upon my people. Why? Very simple, but beautiful reason. The law of God can never lie upon a believer because it has already lain on Christ. Did He not take that law and fulfill it to absolute perfection? Did He not then go to the cross and pay the penalty for that broken law, leaving absolutely nothing unpaid? If the law lay on Christ, if the law bore down upon Christ, and Jesus satisfied it, then it can never bear down upon a Christian. Believer tonight, let no man ever shift you from the ground of pure grace to any ground of legal acceptance. We will go on, if the Lord wills, in due course, to show you how a Christian does obey the law of God. But in that obedience, remember, it is through faith in Jesus. It is through love for our Savior. And it is not out of any slavish dread or fear or any foolish attempt to make ourselves more lovely or more acceptable in the sight of God. See the Savior tonight. See your completeness in Him. And never fall for the follies of those who are guilty of an unlawful use of God's law. If I can help you in the things of God, I invite you to remain as the others leave. Don't leave unsaved. Come, let's open the Scriptures with you, and we'll be glad to point you to Christ. Father in heaven, bless Thy word. We pray Thee, O God, that Thou wilt not let one person go out of this meeting still misusing God's law, using it as a basis of their own sinful operation, using it as a means of trying to work their way to heaven. God, save them from that folly tonight. Bring the lost to the Savior. Lord, comfort, encourage, edify, and direct Thy people. God, grant that if some of Thy people here tonight have been brought under guilt and have been under the bombardment of an illegal use of God's law, that tonight they'll come afresh to the full enjoyment of the freedom of men in Christ. Hear our prayer. Part us now with thy very richest blessing. Grant that thy grace, mercy, and peace will be our portion now and evermore. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.